All right, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is off tonight, as is Bill Newell, but we are going to start our program right away, even before we get to our billboard, and bring on Andover football coach E.J. Perry. And, Coach, good evening, and how are you?
I've had better weekends, but, you know, I mean, it was a tough game Saturday night. It was a fun game for fans, but it was tough for our coaching staff and our kids, but it was a well-played game.
Coach, let's take a look at that. Central Catholic, you guys now in the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. You lost to Central Catholic 49-41 after having an earlier game this year in which they won 30-14. And they just, I don't know, they seem to be a nemesis over the years for you guys, aren't they?
Well, the last three, and just because we play them so many times, the last three we played them seven times, and they're sort of hitting stride, and we've had great games with them, but we just haven't come out on top. So that's been the difficulty. And then just last year it was a seven-point game in the playoffs. This year it was an eight-point game in the playoffs, and it's just and this game was a little more heart-wrenching because, like you said, in the first game we had two fumbles that gave them touchdowns, but we were able to look at the film and figure out what we were going to be able to exploit. And offensively, it really worked to perfection, and this game it was more the special teams that broke down. So it was a great game, and a great, like I said, I had a guy come up to me in CVS on Sunday and give me a hug and said, it was the greatest game I ever saw, and I'm like, I lost, and I go, you're hugging me. So it was fun for the fans, but it was just tough for us.
Well, you know, it's good that they would do that, Coach, because it is fun for the fans. And, you know, so many times I hear negative stuff, and, man, you just got to root the kids on. And I know how difficult it is, you know, when you have such great expectations, and then you come within a whisker of winning, and maybe it's a game you should have won. But looking at Central Catholic, they look to be a powerhouse, and their offense is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they have the good read option. I mean, it's similar to us, except we sort of run it to pass, and that was obvious. We passed for an amazing 636 yards, and they do it to run, and they mix in the pass, but they ran for 200 and passed for 117, and so they do it more to be a balanced attack. And you know, some nights we run it a lot with our backs, but when we can exploit the pass, then we just go after it. And it was, and that's what people thought was fun to see, because we truly were just making these timing patterns and our receivers. We had Andrew Soucy caught 16 balls for 285 yards.
Like, oh, jeez. that's a career for some high school kids.
Right, and, you know, so he was having fun. Then we had another boy catch eight passes for 190 yards and two touchdowns. So it was just, you know, I mean, it was that type of evening, and it was fun for those kids and something that will be memorable. And it just, we took the lead in the beginning of the fourth quarter, 41-40, and I'm thinking, after being down 26-0, and people just, you know, somebody tweeted out, don't bother and come to the game, and then it turned out to be the greatest game ever. And you know, so you sit there and you take it in stride, but it's a little bit sad.
EJ, before we get to the good, to positive stuff, you know, if you look back, when you get a chance to look back, you've been involved in two of the most memorable high school games maybe ever in the country. And, you know, with this being the second one, but it just it speaks to the fact that the kids are well coached, they love to play, and you've had some great athletes.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the overtime game, which was...
You got it, yep.
That was taken nationwide, and we had a boy in that game, like you said, just good players, Andrew Koch, who is the featured back at Brown right now, and I was able to see him 2 weeks get 100 yards and beat my brother, which was sad, but he got 100 yards against Princeton, and it was just great to see him. And he scored 64 points in that game, and like you said, I don't know how many kids have done that in a career. And then... and then this game, which I thought we were going to overtime again, which was an eerie feeling, you know, the point game. And then I thought, if we score and get the two, we're going to overtime. And we got down to the 20, and it just didn't work out. But it was a nice night. And like you said, I'm pretty much old and gray now, but when I'm older and grayer, I'll remember the games and just the players who were involved, and it will be a nice nice thought to have.
I imagine you got a lot grayer over this one, EJ, especially coming from behind by 26. That's incredible. And now tell us about EJ Jr., because I've tried to see some of his stuff on Huddle. It's remarkable, and it's just an amazing story. So tell us about the young man, over 600 yards passing on one football game.
Yeah, and what I try to tell my brothers and my, the pro, my brother who's in college and my brother's in pro, they have 60-minute games. This was a 44-minute game, and to throw 636 yards was, when we came out, we were asking each other, because we knew it was a remarkable night as far as passing. And after you get over, the upset of being beaten and stuff, you just say, oh, geez, I wonder how many yards he threw for. And, like, people go, oh, I think he threw for 450 or maybe five. And when it came out, 636, you're sitting there and you think twice and you're like, oh, man. And he had, and the thing was, he was consistent. He had, like, 309 in one half and then the other half, and or 320, whatever it was, whatever the math is. And so that was just remarkable, just to see. And then, the big thing was his poise. And I don't know if you saw what he tweeted out after, which made me proud as a father. He said, I just want to apologize to all the players on my team. When you get the ball for me, I'm supposed to put it in the end zone. And he was just talking about the last drive where we got to the 20. And he was just in such a mode, in such focus, he thought we were going to go to the end zone, as did I. And Central, Chucky does a good job, and he ran some twists, and he got to us, and he sacked us the last three times. So it was a bit difficult ending.
What was special about this game for EJ in terms of his focus in the zone? What kind of a quarterback is he? Tell us about, describe him for me, EJ, and how he passes and why this game was so, why he was so zoned in.
Well, one thing, and when you go back, a lot of people, I don't know if you know Jim Pugh down in that area, the coach.
Oh, absolutely, yep.
Yeah, he happened to be able to see my brother, and then he see EJ, and he gives them all good compliments. But one thing he says, because they both have the same demeanor, and James is just even keel, and EJ's even keel, and that's the big thing in games like this. When you get down 26-0, in high school, the clock is so damning. One thing that hurt Central is they got down 26 in the first 9 minutes. So, we had to just focus. And we had two drives at the beginning of the game. One where deflected an interception, hit off a kid's face mask and was intercepted, so it was a good pass. So he wasn't discouraged on that. And then on the second drive, we missed a field goal. So it really could have been, like, at that point, 14-10, and it would have been a little different. We didn't get those two scores, and Central was sort of in a groove. But we got on the board right before the first quarter ended, and it's 26-7. And EJ and one lineman, Jason Lynn, just grabbed everyone together and goes, we still have 33 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We're explosive. And then all of a sudden, it got to 26-14, and, we're starting to get up. The sidelines start getting more hype. They did score again to get it 33, but then we came back, and right before the half, we made it 33-21, and we actually got the ball. This is when I knew we were in a groove, and I just told the guys in the locker room after this drive, because we got the ball with 38 seconds on our own 30, and we got it to the 5 as the clock expired for the half. And
wow.
You can make a drive in 38 seconds. So all I said to the guys at halftime, we were getting the ball coming out of the half. I said, guys, all you got to do is go out here and have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's fun. We're down 33-21, manageable score. We're getting the ball. We're going to go down and score. And now it's 30. Now it's a one-score game. And I said, now Central got to start thinking about, we were up 26-0, now we're up 5 points. And that's exactly what happened. On the second play of the drive, Susie caught it. We were on our own 22, and he went 80 yards and got down to the 2. He didn't score, but then on the very next play we scored, and all of a sudden it's 33-28. And now we're back where we usually are with Central, in a rock fight, and everybody's playing, and it was just a great game. And him getting in the zone is just, when he gets in a rhythm and our receivers get in a rhythm, it's very hard to stop. I mean, you saw us a couple years ago when we played Gloucester. When the offense gets clicking, it's that type of offense. And as long as you do your job, just like the Patriots always say, then everybody's involved. We had six guys catch passes. We had five guys catch more than two passes. So everybody was involved in doing their job, and it was just a fun night. And,
We could spend all night in this. EJ, what's the size of your son, and what's his passing style? Is he over the top and so on?
Yeah, he's over the top, and he's 6'2". He's 193, and you know, being a junior, you know, we're hoping he ends up around 6'3", and maybe growing wise. I mean, that's tough, but I mean, even if he's 6'2", and then gets in the weight room, he's 205. He's getting a lot of interest now. BC's coming to practice on Wednesday, so that's good. And then, you know, UMass has already been out. And so he's just trying to decide whether he wants to play. The best pass he probably had of the night was he scrambled. We were on the 45. He scrambled, and, you know, this is the one my AD came up to me. And when he's scrambling, he sees a kid in the end zone, and off his back foot, he throws it like 53 yards and hits the kid in the numbers, and that just showed his arm strength and what he's able to do. And you know, he gets that from the multiple sports, the basketball, and then he catches in baseball, so he's always been throwing a ball, and you know, that's just built up his arm, and he's got the quick release. That's a big thing for the colleges. He's got a quick release.
So. That's tremendous. Do you have somebody who works with him on technique at quarterback?
Yeah, he mostly works with my brother James, who's the Princeton OC, in the summer, and then he goes out with Hartzell, and, you know, C.J. Scarpa's down there, Coach Hartzell, who used to play at BC, and C.J. Scarpa, who started this week for Bentley and won the game for them. He threw for 300. I was very proud on Saturday. My quarterback threw for 300, and C.J. Scarpa, who got his first start at Bentley, threw for 300, so that was good. And then he's out there with the Burton kid, also throws out there. So they go down to Newton on Sundays and just work on technique. And the whole thing, the quarterbacking, his technique and his footwork. His two biggest things that he did well in this game was feet, which we've been working on all year, and then taking what they give you. As you know, a lot of quarterbacks are riverboat gamblers like Steve Grogan, and they want to go up top all the time. And we were just trying to show him in the film, and that's why when you play teams twice, you have a little bit of advantage, and that's why we're getting Susie so much, because they were giving up that little hook zone about 12 yards. So we were getting that most of the night, and it worked out well.
So many high schools try to do, you know, a passing offense or the spread, but I would think that for young quarterbacks, now I'm talking especially for a junior, the decision-making has to be difficult. So obviously EJ's had a lot of work in making decisions and who to look for.
Yeah, and you know, my brother John was big at that, because, you know, he worked with Chip Kelly, and now he's working with Billy O'Brien. But when he's here in the summer, he would just constantly, to your point, he will say to him, EJ, you're going to have many decisions, and the only bad decision is no decision. If you hesitate, mm-hmm. then you're lost in this offense. So he said, you have to make the read, and you have to go with your read, and you have to get the ball in there. That's the biggest thing for young quarterbacks. When he was a freshman and he was playing, the biggest thing when you go from eighth grade to freshman is all these defenses. Oh, he said it looked like when you look out there for the first time and you see a varsity defense, it looks like a mirage, and you've got linebackers running here and safeties and corners, and you're not used to that from the eighth grade. So that's what he's learned over the 3 years, and I'm proud of the way he's been able to adapt.
Fantastic. How did practice go today when you met with the kids?
Practice was awesome. I mean, one thing that you can take in teachable moments you talk about is I told these kids 3 weeks ago, you know, we were up 14-7 and we hit adversity and we didn't hit back. And I said, what we learned in 3 weeks and about this team, what I always stress is you hit back tonight. So you got down 26-0, but you shook it off. You came all the way back. You got up 41-40. You're not going to forget this game. You know, the hard thing is, you know, I think, and I'm an MVC guy, I think the game, Central Everett's going to be very, very good, but I think, you know, I think Central might be able to pull it out, and you're going to look back and say,
exactly. Tough. Well, we saw Everett on Friday night. We did the Everett-Peabody game.
And that was a spectacular game, too.
It was.
I talked to the Peabody coaches because they play in my 7-on-7, and I'm like, we're both a whisker away. It could have been hand over Peabody. It could have been Everett Andover. It could have been Central Peabody, and I said, you know, it's a flip of a coin, and that's a, I coach three sports, and that's a tough thing about football. It is a matter of week to week and inches. You know, you're always scratching your head.
Well, one of the things about this one, you know, I'm sure kids know each other from each team, and I can see them 10, 15, 20 years from now meeting somewhere for a hamburger and a libation, going back over this game year after year after year because it was so special. And I'm sure it's going to grow and, you know, in its history. But you got to look and think that you've been involved in some great things, EJ.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the one thing that I always try to stress, and the parents, you know, most of the time don't want to hear it, but, you know, win, lose, or draw, like you say, and you can't tell a 17-year-old, you got to live through it because I had to. But exactly what you're saying, you're never going to forget these moments. You're never going to forget the effort that you put in. And I said, in 20 years from now, it doesn't matter if you were the first kid on that team or the 84th kid on that team. You're going to sit there and say, I was involved in something special, mm-hmm. and I was involved in something that was big for that day. And like you said, this game will be, you know, by the time, I told EJ, by the time he's 80, he was thrown for 800
that's
yards.
That's right.
And, you know, I said, each year it's going to grow a couple of yards.
Yep.
And I said, that's the fun part of sports.
Well, when I saw it in the paper, I thought somebody was exaggerating in the first place. So I don't know how much more you can exaggerate. That's incredible. Now, Coach, before we take a quick look at what's upcoming, what's your varsity comprised of? Do you have any kids coming back next year?
Yeah, well, you start with the centerpiece, EJ, and then the boy that I mentioned, Danny Gemmel. Danny Gemmel is probably EJ's leading Division I in passing TDs, and Danny's leading Division I in receiving TDs, and they're both coming back. And then Cedric Gillette is the other receiver. We have two linemen coming back, and Jason Lynn and Cam Lehman, and they'll do a good job. And then on the defensive side, we got like five or six guys, and we've got a tremendous junior class, and sophomore class is buying in. As you know from football and covering it for so long, the sophomore, that's the hardest class to be in because, you know, even JV days, sometimes you don't play that much because you got juniors. And obviously on varsity days, it's hard to get in there. But they're a good class, and they're 32 strong, so we're excited about that.
Excellent.
And we're excited about our freshmen. So
excellent.
We're very excited about the future, and we're just looking towards Lawrence this week, and then we're renewing our rivalry with North Andover. So the Andover-North Andover game, which was off for, as far as on Thanksgiving, was off for about 45 to 50 years, and now we're going back to that, and it's very exciting.
Fantastic. Well, EJ, I know you're in pain partially, as the kids are, but you bounce right back today, and you got two more games to go. But all I can say, EJ, is, first of all, thanks for taking the call and talking with us, because I love talking with you about your kids and your son, but also congratulations on such a terrific, excellent year with the kids this year, and especially with your son.
Yeah, thank you very much, and we have to renew our
yes,
our libations ourselves down at
Silver Street,
because that was such a great night. So after the season, we'll get together and just have a great time.
You got a date. Good luck, EJ, and thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Take care. That is Andover football coach E.J. Perry, and what a story coming out of Andover as his son threw for over 630 yards and didn't win. They came up short to Central Catholic, who just has won time after time in most recent years over Andover. So there we go. Now, thank you for being with us here. I'd like to remind you of this presentation of MSO News Sports. It's brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill, by Honeydew Donuts, by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire, by Moore GMC of Danvers, by Harrington Trophy in Lynn, Attorney Robert J. Madruga in Gloucester, by the Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli, by the Lynn Museum, by Columbia Insurance of Lynn, the Porthole Restaurant, Lynn Auditorium, and the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. There we go. Okay, quick break. We're going to come back with Danvers football coach Sean Terrio, as we've got both coaches in our big matchup this weekend. In Division III, it's Danvers playing at Marblehead. We'll have Coach Terrio first and then Coach Wedloff. This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns is off tonight, but we'll be talking with Kim in just a while. Tim was just in just a while.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Okay, we're back, and as promised, Danvers football coach Sean Terrio is on the line. And Coach, welcome back once again on a Monday night.
Hey, how you doing?
Sean, I'm looking at the games here recently. First of all, congratulations on the win over Tewksbury. It's great to finally get Tewksbury off the back of the Northeastern Conference. So we'll start right there. Big game, you guys beating Tewksbury in a really close one. Maybe a quick recap on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game. You know, the kids played hard, played very physical. You know, and they certainly deserve to win that game.
Well, 14-13, as we said, you finally get them off the back of the conference, and you got a tough one coming up. But the main thing that sticks out with me, except for the Peabody game, last 4 or 5 weeks, your defense has just been phenomenal.
Yeah, the defense really all year has been great. I mean, they're very well coached. Defense coordinator Ryan Nolan really did a great job with them, and you know, getting them prepared mentally and physically for you know whatever opponent they're playing and. The kids are very bought in.
Well, you know, go back to the Peabody game. I was very surprised to see Peabody win 26-7 after you guys had played so tough over Beverly. But then you come right back, you beat Revere, and then you beat Tewksbury. What did you take out of the Peabody game, if anything, Sean? Did you use that as a teaching moment or just tell the kids, put it behind you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, absolutely use it as a teaching moment. I mean, I think the kids, you know, given Peabody's record at the time, they had lost a couple of games and I think they got a little overconfident. They didn't bring their A game. They didn't bring their physicality and their focus. They learned from it and you know became much more focused after that.
I just got off the phone with Coach E.J. Perry up in Andover and talking about E.J. Jr.'s performance at quarterback with over 600-yard passing. But we got to talk about your quarterback, Matt Andreas. He's a real general out there. He really commands the game.
Oh yeah, I mean him and EJ are opposite quarterbacks. You know, Matty's a runner. You know, he runs hard, he runs downhill. But both those quarterbacks are great leaders, smart kids, and you know, get the ball into the end zone.
Okay, now what do you got coming up against Marblehead? I mean, you know, seen him. Everybody knows Marblehead. You guys, you know, everybody knows Coach Rudloff. We know about the passing game of Keo. But what do you see out of these kids?
Yeah, they're very physical kids. They're not as big physically as they were last year, but they're at least as tough, if not tougher, than they've ever been. You know, and they play very disciplined. They play tough defense, and their quarterback is probably the best around when it comes to throwing the ball. And he's patient in the pocket, and he can deliver the ball to some really good athletes.
Again, looking at some of these scores, I want to mention the Revere game. In a 7-0 game, Sean, we weren't there for that one. We didn't do it, but mistakes and turnovers and penalties, I'm guessing there probably weren't a lot on each team. How'd that one go?
Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing that we needed to focus on coming out of that Revere game offensively. We didn't have any offensive penalties this game, and we didn't have any turnovers.
And, you know, because of that, we actually did not have to punt the ball once all day.
Wow.
You know, we really moved the ball well. You know, now we're just going to work on our red zone offense a little bit more, punching it in. But we certainly played a much cleaner game this week offensively.
All right. This time of year, there are dings and bruises and bumps. How's everybody doing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, today and yesterday we had a weight room session and a couple of kids, you know, they had to, you know, do certain things differently just because they're, you know, a little banged up. But, you know, they're tough kids, and they'll figure out a way to get on the field.
Okay, how much are you guys looking forward to this one now, and how's the school looking forward? Because this is huge. You have a chance to, never mind that. You've had an excellent season to this point, so how are we looking at this one?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is also, I don't think Danvers has beaten Marblehead in about 10 years. These kids, you know, growing up, have not beat Marblehead yet, I think, since maybe like the C team of Pop Warner. You know, and it's definitely another monkey we want to get off our back and, you know, continue this season.
Well, it began last year, but it's certainly a highlight last year was that Thanksgiving Day game. And we can't look ahead, but you guys, I guess maybe that's how you're facing Marblehead, and that this is another one of those bowling pins that you have to knock over. But, Sean, any final thoughts? Just a great season to this point.
Yeah, you know, I just think the kids are really seeing the hard work pay off. And, you know, the off season with the lift in and the set on set, and you know, even throughout the season with the practices and workout sessions and film sessions, and you know, I just think it's a tribute to how hard they've worked, and they get to see it pay off. And you know, it's certainly definitely a great life lesson for them.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, best of luck this weekend, and keep it going, and we'll talk to you before the Thanksgiving Day game.
All right, great.
Thanks, Sean. That is Sean Terrio, who is the Danvers High School football coach. We'll take a break, come back, and check in with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore. This is North Shore Sports Night.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, general manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Silverman Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Silverman Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Silverman Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
All right, we're back, still trying to get a hold of Coach Rudloff, excuse me, and so far Coach E.J. Perry up in Andover and Sean Terrio at Danvers. We'll talk with Tim Kearns later on. Going to try to get a hold of Scott Cooper as well. Just taking a look, my throat allows me to, at the weekend football scores. Manchester Essex over Whittier 15-12, Marblehead shutting out Gloucester 27-0, Danvers squeezing by Tewksbury 14-13, Essex Tech over Dorchester 16-6, Everett, and I come from behind her over Peabody with, I think, 4 seconds left to go in the game, something like that, or 14 seconds, 18-14. St. Mary's beating Bishop Fenwick 24-6, and Watertown over North Reading 31-7. Our football game on Friday night, our feature game, will probably be Bishop Fenwick against Greater Lawrence at Manning Field, and we're thinking about doing the Winthrop at Gloucester game also, but that hasn't been firmed up yet, and we'll let you know later on. On the website. In other high school football over the weekend, it was Swampscott 22, Saugus 12. Hamilton Wenham winning over Newburyport 13-12. Beverly over Revere, surprising score there, 41-13. Lynn English 28, Salem 6. The Prep bouncing back, big score over Malden 33-7. Ipswich down Triton by a point, 21-20. North End over 20, Masco 8. Lynn Classical over Cambridge 35-8. Amesbury, big score. Winthrop also scoring big, but it was Amesbury prevailing 56-34. Pentucket a point over Linfield. Wow, 28-27. Lowell Catholic beating Georgetown 28-14. It was Lintech 30 and Boston English 18. Playoff game this weekend again is Danvers at Marblehead. And due to the field conditions there, we are unable to broadcast live from Marblehead. And that's through no one's fault. Certainly, Coach Rudloff is great to us, as is A.D. Mark Tomry, but we can't fit in there. Boy, this throat just all of a sudden got crazy. There's just no room for us to do the game, so we'll hope we will be having reports out of that game. Danvers at Marblehead for the Division III North crown. And in Friday's other games that we have it, it's Winthrop at Gloucester, Beverly at Masco, and Lynn Classical at Salem. Those are all 7 p.m. starts on Friday night. And as you heard Sean Terrio mention about Matt Andreas, 161 yards rushing the ball on Friday night in the win over Tingsboro. I guess it was a Saturday game, right? Saturday afternoon. 28 carries, 161 yards, 2 touchdowns for Andreas. So not too shabby there. Other performances of note, Jordan Rowding of Beverly, 7 carries and 111 yards in his game. Christian Sanfilippo, 23 carries, 108 yards in a losing effort against Marblehead. But Garrett Keogh, 7 pass completions out of 15 attempts for 208 yards and 2 touchdowns to Craig, one of those touchdowns, 107 yards receiving the ball. So Marblehead continues. They are 8-1, 5-0 in the league, of course, but they're 8-1 now overall. And Danvers is now 7-2 overall. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll see if we can get a hold of Scott Cooper, have him bring us up to date on tournament action from Marblehead and Swampscott. Manchester Essex girls soccer advancing to the sectional semifinals as they clobbered. well, I don't know what you want to use that word, but they won easily, rather easily, over Minuteman. No, over who did they play? Well, they won on Saturday anyway, 7-0. Okay, Maimonides. I don't even know if I can pronounce that. All right, so we will take a break and come back with either Scott Cooper or Tim Kearns. This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, and this is North Shore Sports Night. We will have a couple of games on Friday night. We're just not exactly sure what they will be yet. So just check out the website. We'll let you know.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Silverman Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Silverman Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Silverman Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Kills me not to know this,
but... Okay, we are back, and joining us now is our own Tim Kearns, sports analyst extraordinaire. And you having a party over there, Coach?
No, I'll phone in the background.
Oh, you need to go answer it? I can call you back.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah,
we just answered it, so.
All right, okay. I don't know if you're listening, but we started off, Tim, tonight. We were scheduled to have Marblehead's Jim Rudloff. I expect him to call, I hope. We had Danvers Sean Terrio, football coaches from both those communities. And we started off with Andover football coach E.J. Perry. And I don't know if you heard, Coach, Andover lost, I think it was 47-41 to Central Catholic in a game that Andover was down by 26-0. But E.J.'s son, who's a quarterback, a junior quarterback, threw for over 630 yards in that game.
I saw the report on that, and I actually had to read it twice, Rick. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that number. I don't think anybody has ever come near throwing that in one game. Some people never throw that in a season in a high school career. But to do that, you know, I mean, E.J. must have been through the roof. But, you know, knowing E.J. And probably his son reflecting on the same thing, he'd have taken a 200-yard game for a win in that contest.
Yeah, they were, E.J. said he didn't sleep much over the weekend, and it's weird. We talked with Peabody Athletic Director Phil Sheridan. He said the same thing. It was a tough weekend to sleep. Peabody coach Mark Betancourt was really upset on Friday night, and he was upset. Not so much, in how I interpret it, not so much, Tim, in that Peabody got beat by Everett, whom I think had, you know, more numbers in terms of superior athletes, and they got beat by a pretty good team. But it wasn't so much of that. It was so much that I believe Coach Betancourt feels like he let his team down. And as a fan, Tim, that was just a great game. And Everett just kept rolling. I mean, Everett rolls out three starting lineups on offense.
Yeah, you know, Coach Kiriath, though, he hasn't won all the games he's won by not being prepared and being able to motivate his kids. And certainly the tragedy that happened to one of their players the week before certainly had to play into the emotions of that game he had. And one of his running backs were in that player's jersey. And you know that amped his personal performance up. It amped the team's performance up. And, you know, they've been behind before. It's a team that's and a program that has played in big games and has been successful, you know, and they knocked off St. John's the week before. This is a team that didn't fear adversity, didn't fear being behind. It knows how to play from behind. It knows how to get ahead. It knows how to make plays in the clutch. And this was simply another example of you know, Big E pride, as I like to call it, coming through and taking the win. You know, as I saw that game unfolding on the Twitter feed, I'm thinking, wow, Peabody's got a really good chance of moving on here and taking down, you know, a giant in northeastern Massachusetts in the Everett program. And just harkening back to the days when Peabody had great teams in the GPL and Everett had good teams, and those teams would go and knock heads every single year. And years when Peabody would come out on top and everyone would come out on top. And I think Peabody saw this as an opportunity to sort of maybe reestablish that kind of rivalry once again. And to have it taken away. No, good, Ben, good. You know, you want to take it off the onus off the kids. That I could have done something more because, you know, they were feeling probably a whole lot worse than he did for thinking out there's something that they didn't do, a tackle they didn't make, a block they didn't execute perfectly, the yard they didn't get on a run, a pass that went off the fingertips, a pass that was just underthrown in the quarterback's motion. He had that throw back. You know, with Santos saying, you know, if I had 25 more yards, would we have kept the ball and won the game because we had been able to run the clock? Everybody is analyzing what they did and what they may not have done to help Peabody win the game. And I think Coach Maynard is trying to take all of that off of them and put it on himself.
Well, you know, again, as a fan, excuse me, hold on a second, Coach. As a fan, I can say unequivocally that I think both teams just gave everything they could. Everett, to me, Tim, having seen them now infrequently, I saw them a couple years ago, saw them again this year, they were pretty much undisciplined in this game. And the final drive was sort of like a backyard combination where you get the two oldest, biggest kids just throwing to each other. You know, say, all right, go long and I'll throw it to you. And that's sort of what that last drive was like. I don't want to take away from all the Everett kids who work so hard, of course. But it was just silly the way that 6'6 kid could go up and just out-jump everybody on the Peabody team.
Well, you know, when you've got those tools, that's what you go to. That if that's the strength, if that's the point of attack, you know you can make hay. He just heave it down the field and let him use the athletic ability that he has and to your advantage. You know, I mean, Peabody unleashes Doug Sanders. He's a small guy. He blasts through the holes, and on most nights, he's doing 200 yards against you. You know, you look at what happened the week before, 417 yards of offense by himself, and it's like, good Lord, how do you stop that little guy? You can't. You know, I mean, Everett did a very good job because they have enough teams they can match up with Santos.
Coach, can I call you back? I think Coach Rudloff is on the line.
Okay, sure.
I'll call you right back. Hello, Rick Moore.
Hi, this is Chris calling for Babe Ruth Baseball for the Gloucester Kids. How are you?
Oh, okay. You're going to have to call me later. I'm on the air right now.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No way. All right, thank you. All right, sorry about that. That was Coach Rudloff. Let's try it again. Hello, MSO News Sports. Hello.
Rick, you called me back.
Okay, Tim, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, I did it right. You know how they have that call waiting? I figured it out. All right. Even though I wasn't trying to.
That works.
Okay. All right, now where were we? All right, Tim, let's talk about Marblehead and Danvers because I think this is our last chance to get someone from the conference to go to Gillette, is it not?
I believe you are correct, because everybody is out. Gloss is out. Beverly's out. Masco is out of it. The prep is out of it. Everybody that's in is now out.
What do you? We've got St. Mary's and Greater Lowell on Friday night.
That's true.
I think that's what's left.
But it's to be determined, because there's always a couple that don't play at Gillette. Is that the division that won't be there this year?
Oh man!
Because there were two. The two that were missing last year. So I think two have to miss because of the number of games they played.
Wish you hadn't said that, because we haven't been down there a while. All right, listen, what about, tell me a little bit about what you see with this game. Marblehead and Danvers, two schools that have been steady all year long.
Yeah, they have. Marblehead, we have to say, maybe given the edge because they've had the program has been on this level for the last few years, and they're used to playing in these kind of games. Danvers is doing more now. Do you give the adrenaline edge to Danvers, having come through the fires and survived to take on a Marblehead? Are you giving a Marblehead because they've been here before? I mean, Keogh is their quarterback, and he's just money with those receivers. And, you get a Marblehead team that was only up 7-0 going into the fourth quarter, and yet they put 20 on the board against Gloucester in that fourth quarter. Gloucester just couldn't seem to stop them. When Marblehead needed to make plays and put that game away, they came up and did it. Bill and I saw this when Marblehead played English. English played the best game I've seen in years, and Marblehead still needed to come back and tie the game and eventually take it away from Lynn English. And again, Keogh throwing those deep sideline passes. I was amazed at how accurate he was at the distance that he was throwing the ball. Can Davis and Andreas come up and do a similar thing? Can they keep their run going? This is a team that's going to be supremely confident. They're not going to be afraid of Marblehead. They know they can play the big guys. They know they can be a giant killer. And they know they can play tight defense and hold teams down. Now, can they hold Marblehead down? That's going to be the question. Everything points to a fourth quarter that's going to be one for the book. I think they'll slug it out of the first three, and the team that is able to turn the tide in their favor probably in the second half of the fourth quarter is going to walk away with the win. I don't see it as being right one way or the other.
All right, I'm looking at the website, Coach, and what I don't understand. Okay, Division III North. Now, that's what Marblehead and Danvers are in, right?
Yep.
Okay, so this is the sectional finals for them, which means that they will go on. The winner of this game will go to Gillette, apparently, and face the South winner, and that will be on the first Saturday in December. So it looks like we're going to get to go down there with either Marblehead or Danvers.
Now, I thought they played the Western winner at Gillette.
This doesn't, no, I think they're the ones who don't play, let me see here, I can't figure
this. I thought that was the whole purpose of the new thing, was that you play somebody from...
No, I think the West played in Gillette last year, that's why the Northeast Conference didn't, the East didn't.
Okay.
I think that's how it goes.
All right.
But this is just showing, if I'm reading it correctly, sectional state brackets, division 2-4, let me see, that says Gillette. Now, hold on one second, Tim. I had it a second ago, and now I lost it. Let me just scroll down a little bit more. 2, 4, 5, 6. Division 1. Let's see. Let me go down here. Division 3. Yeah, it says states. Oh, wait a minute. State semifinals, November 20 and 21. So there's another week to go. Okay. So there's another week to go before they get to Gillette. All right, I read it wrong. So, yeah, you're right. I think there's more stuff coming up here. So there's another week to go. They'll play. So the winner of the Marblehead-Danvers game will have to play another game. So this will not get them to Gillette. They got to play one more to make it. So, yeah, maybe that's when they play the South. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody's going to have to explain it to me. Division 1, Division 3. state semifinals, November 20 and 21, to be determined. And then the state final is at Gillette on December 5.
Right.
Okay, so they've got, yeah, they got to play again next week, but it's not in the bracket, so I don't know how to figure this out. It doesn't say, you know, in the pairings, it doesn't say who they'll be playing, who Division III will be playing next. I can't figure
it out. I wonder if they're waiting to see who plays and then figure out the site from that.
Let me see here. Division playoff, non-playoff schedule. I don't know. Somebody's going to have... I'm on the website, the MIAA website, and it takes the Division III Northeast playoff as far as November 13, and then it stops.
And because right, Beverly, let's see, Gloucester is now 7-2, and if they win this week, they could be 8-2, and then they have Thanksgiving, and if they won that out, they could finish 9-2, 11 games. That's their 11 games, and you need 13 to win.
Yeah, so they got to play one more, yeah.
Eight.
All right, I have no idea where or when or who they play.
Well, there's a semifinal, and then Gillette against the western part of the state is the final.
That sounds right, but it doesn't say where. So apparently, Northeast has to play. I don't know. Pizza. I don't know. Somebody will figure it out for me.
I'm gonna try to figure out who's gonna be playing, and then probably find the best sites between the two.
Yeah.
Go from there.
All right. Well, we wish both teams the best of luck. Tim, any other final thoughts? Any thoughts about the Patriots or anybody else?
Oh, the Panthers continue to roll on. You know, now once again, Belichick's going to have to dig deep into the well of his of the depth of the team, and guys have to step up and do their job, you know, and continue to fill in. It was a great job by the offensive line on Sunday with all the, you know, patchwork offensive plays they had out there. I mean, was anybody in the right position?
No, except the center.
You know, and still they're just busting these holes and they're setting the edge for LeGarrette Blount to, you know, to ring up 129 yards of offense. You know, I mean, that's just a credit to the team, a credit to the players, a credit to the coaching staff that they come out to do that. What was it, a blind game? Yeah, some say they played down to the quality of the competition, but you got to figure, I mean, you keep getting guys knocked out of the game. They were fighting for survival here in the game, just trying to get through to not get anybody else hurt, and they just kept stepping up and doing the job.
Well, and they kind of played vanilla, which is all they needed to do, I guess, and they got a big one against the Giants, but it is fun watching these guys do it this year.
Oh, certainly is. Even in a game like, you know, on Sunday, you know, when Washington deferred, I said to my wife, I said, you know, I don't know why teams would, you know, want to give them the ball first, because they're going to run it down your ball, and then you let them have the ball, they're going to take the ball and score. So, you know, 6 of 1 half does of another. You know, and the amazing part of what this team has done is they have scored in 31 consecutive quarters. They've only failed to score in the opening quarter of the opening game.
Wow.
So far this year, they're points on the board in every quarter. And when you're putting points on the board, you're giving yourself a great opportunity to win. And that's what they continue to do. And, of course, the next few weeks, certainly the opposition gets a lot tougher. And they probably didn't try to do a whole lot with these guys on Sunday simply because they didn't want to show anything for the teams that they're going to play next.
Well, and as you said, they had everybody out of position, too.
Which actually gives other teams more to think about, because all these teams playing, you know, all these guys playing and doing all these different things, it's like, okay, who's actually going to be in what position and what do we expect them to do?
Yeah, that's funny.
What else do you have the game plan for?
That's funny. You're right. All right, Coach, I guess the only other thing is when the Hot Stove League heats up, when does that usually start?
The Hot Stove, Rick, never goes out in Boston.
That's true.
It never cooled down. So, you know, I saw running a flash across the screen that the equipment truck leaves February 10th for Florida. I mean, we're not even through Thanksgiving, and they're already planning the date for when the Red Sox equipment will leave Fenway Park.
All right. What do you think the odds are that Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval are both on the team next year?
I'm going to have to say, sadly, probably 100% because of the huge contracts that they were given. Nobody's going to want to pay them for the level of production they put out this year, and the Red Sox can't afford to eat those kind of contracts.
Can they afford to play them?
They're talking Hanley Ramirez at first base, and I'm thinking, you know, that's going to be another experiment that's just not going to work. It's not going to work.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Coach, hope you can make it next week, and we'll listen to you guys. You're going to be at Manning Field, I think, on Friday night. It'll be
My plan is to be at Manning Field.
St. Mary's in Greater Lowell, I believe it is.
Yes, that's, and again, St. Mary's continues to roll along, so I think that should be a very good one.
Okay. All right, we'll talk to you later, Coach.
Okay, Rick, thanks.
Thanks, Tim. That's Tim Kearns, our super analyst and super announcer and longtime educator. Knows a lot of sports, and he's a very, very enthusiastic sports fan and a tremendous supporter of kids in the area. Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to end early here because of the throat. We will have a football game on Friday, probably two games, and we're leaning towards St. Mary's Greater Lowell, excuse me, at Manning Field. That will be a tournament game, by the way, Division 5. And then the non-tournament game will probably be Winthrop at Gloucester, but that's TBA at the moment. On Friday, don't forget, it is Trending Now with Josh Arnold at 10 a.m. and North Shore Today every morning with Bill Newell and me. I'm Rick Moore, and for our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and for Bill Newell and Tim Kearns, have a good evening.
This is NSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.